This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Thank you for joining us here at Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Todd Kunin and Cal Hunter, our producer. What a beautiful day out. It is the 15th of February. We love doing this show, and I really, truly want to thank everybody for listening. I was thinking about this driving in this morning. What a wonderful opportunity for Todd and I, and Cal, and Denise is away today in enjoying a vacation. What a great opportunity for us to serve and enjoy this fun show. And I do truly believe to some degree it's a service. It's entertainment. It is exciting, we think, and it's sometimes informative, but most of the time not. But we're enjoyable. We're enjoying it.
But we do provide something that's not available anywhere else.
That's true. We are unique. Call us at 855 Law Radio if you want to tune in or talk to Cal if he's not busy. Remember, you can tweet us at Radio Law Talk. We have a lot going on today, Todd. A lot.
Absolutely.
We've got case or no case. We've got the Weinstein is wrapping up. I was waiting Friday to see if the jury was going to come back. It did not, to my knowledge. Come back yet? That's next week, probably.
And that's typically, well, that's a good sign for the defense at a minimum. I mean, usually when juries come back with a very quick verdict, that's most of the time that's a prosecution-oriented verdict when it comes back. So for Mr. Weinstein and his attorneys, I'm sure they're happy that the jury at least decided to take a little time to review everything.
Yes, and that's probably what they're doing. Next week is going to be the big decision, and we'll be able to talk about that because we have followed the Weinstein case from the beginning. I heard something interesting, and I'm going to say this out loud to everybody. Listen to this. I'm a little shocked. We have a marketing person that handles most of our Twitter account, our Instagram, and Facebook, and she said that when we talk about the Weinstein and we post about, okay, this is what we're talking about, and she'll post our discussions about Weinstein, that we get blocked by Twitter. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. She says they temporarily put us on, what is the word she said? They said we're temporarily, our account's suspended temporarily.
So we're on hiatus for some reason.
No.
Unchosen.
And they put us back on. And I get it. Twitter wants to make sure stuff's not offensive. But this is news, Twitter. We're talking about news. And I'm not here to disparage you, Twitter, because you've got more money and more power than I do. But here's the thing. I was actually shocked that when we talked about mainly Weinstein, they put us in a hiatus, our Twitter account.
What about Avenatti?
I don't know. I just don't get this stuff. Why do they do that?
Well, I have.
That's my understanding.
My theory as to why they might do that has to do with A, how Radio Law Talk presents itself as being
neutral
and a show for families.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that there's any individual at Twitter that would go in and say, okay, this needs to be blocked, this needs to be blocked, this needs to be blocked.
Right.
There are algorithms that do that.
That's true.
And given,
probably true.
Given the subject matter of the Weinstein case, because you're talking about allegations of sexual abuse and rape and what have you, I think that there's a high likelihood that any time the name Weinstein comes through on Twitter, that there's going to be maybe an algorithm put in by Twitter to say these are
words
that are associated, and so that probably needs to be reviewed before it can go out because it just triggers the algorithm.
Yeah. So I guess we can't use the R word. A lot of words we should stop using.
Well,
maybe we can call it the R word.
Well, I don't think those words necessarily would get you booted from Twitter, but oftentimes when people are talking about the R word and those things, they're also using other language to describe those acts that are expletives, and so maybe they're just highly sensitive to that, and that's why the gets
not in a legal, neutral way that we're doing it here.
Exactly.
And as a newsworthy type, I consider us news.
Do they fear that somehow we could influence the jury pool?
Yes, we're so powerful out there that sure that everyone has stopped right now and listening to us right now.
I mean, you know, they might go well.
We do have 3 new affiliates, and then, I mean, we have affiliates joining us all the time. But anyway, that was an interesting thing that happened this week. And other than that, it's beautiful. The sun's out. I'm happy. It's a good day. I'm here with my friends, and we're going to talk about Weinstein. It's really interesting. I'm telling you, it is very interesting to me. And us as lawyers, don't forget what we like to look at is I like the strategies and watch the strategies of the prosecutor and the defense, and there's a lot for us to talk about. I still wrote bad argument, don't say it this way, say, you see my notes written all over the paper.
You know, we go to, as attorneys, we have to, and pretty much every state I believe has this, we have to go to what's called continuing legal education,
right?
And I remember after the OJ trial, the verdict came out in the OJ trial during my first semester of my first year of law school in 1995.
Yes.
And then as I went to continuing legal education conferences for the first 10 years after I became a lawyer, it seemed like everybody talking about trial was referencing something that happened in OJ because it was so, there were mistakes that were made and there were things that were done good, and so those were used. My guess is that the Weinstein trial is probably something we are going to see for the next 5 to 10 years, especially for me because I do criminal law, in continuing legal education classes about don't do this, do that, especially if the verdict came back not guilty for Weinstein. If he acquitted, you can guarantee you're going to see that everything that happened in that trial is going to go under a microscope and comb through with a fine tooth comb.
Right. And the biggest difference is no Lance Ito.
Oh, yeah. Those of you who don't know, that was O.J. trial's judge. That's funny. He used to sit back there and I swear he had a sandwich back there. He's like eating a sandwich while everybody's watching the O.J. trial.
The most interesting thing about Ito was, I remember he was asked a question. The trial had just finished, and they said, well, what are you going to do now? What's coming up next? And he says, well, I think I have a DUI trial assigned to me next week.
Yeah.
It's like going from that to a DUI trial.
Yeah. Or he said, overruled.
No, that's true. You just go from like some high profile, and I do know judges. I've talked to them, and this very high profile case, you're on the news, or I mean, you're not. That's the judge, but the case is on the news. You can see the judge, if they allow the cameras in the courtroom to just a minor misdemeanor. It just moves on. That's the way it is.
Are there still states that don't allow cameras in the court? I know the Supreme Court doesn't, but are there still states that don't? I wonder.
I don't know which states do or don't, but the vast majority of the time that I understand is it's up to the judge.
Right.
Now, every state is different, but in general, it's up to the judge. Like, I know one judge that at times will allow cameras, but no recording.
No audio. Yeah.
No audio. They allow the cameras, but no audio.
That's a pretty common restriction.
Yeah. And so, and some don't allow them at all. It depends.
Well, I think that's just because the Sketch Artists Union has a powerful lobby, and they don't want to be put out of business. They want to be able to continue to make those caricatures of people with, distorted facial features.
The cartoons that they draw.
You know what? I do know some of those some of those sketch artists that go into court.
Or the pictures they drew of Harvey Weinstein naked. Did you see those? The sketch artist's version of the picture of Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I missed that. I'm a little concerned you're Googling that.
No. I'm not Googling it. I'm saying it showed up in a news article. It was awful.
And let me tell you now, we're going to talk about that when we come back, but I actually have the Michael Jackson sketch artist who went all over the world when Macaulay Culkin was testifying. The main sketch artist that did the sketch, I've got that original sketch.
Wow.
I bought it from the artist because they'll go out and, famous ones, they'll go out and sell them.
Well, I stole something from what the reporters called Camp OJ. They had a big old banner they printed out that said Camp OJ on laminated paper.
Oh.
And I was there for 1 weekend doing some stories. And I thought, that's coming home with me.
That's awesome.
I think I threw it away in 2 days.
You borrowed it.
That's what I did, yeah.
We'll be back.
With no intent. Yeah. This is Radio Law Talk. If you stay right there, the show will continue. We have Case or No Case and a lot of other cool things coming up right here on Radio Law Talk. So don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Concussion Medical Clinic knows active people run the risk of a concussion. Soccer, football, even a simple fall can lead to a brain injury. Concussion Medical Clinic can test you before you start a sports program so they can have a baseline and more quickly diagnose a concussion should one occur. They also offer expert witness services if you're involved in a concussion case, and their specialty is the treatment of concussion. So if you have suffered a concussion and want the best concussion care available, give Concussion Medical Clinic a call, 916-259-4043, 916-259-4043, Concussion Medical Clinic.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4-LAW or see us at PennyAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
The Amador
Valley. You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny. Now it's time to play Case or No. Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Or fade or no fade. Anyway, there we go.
There it is.
You're open for case or no case, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take you now.
Hey, wait a minute.
To the great Pacific Northwest. Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Tell them what we just think we found out during the break. Those of you listening during the break, Todd came up with something very important in the OJ trial that we might have found.
Well, you know, Cal, you said you were down there covering, and you kept something that a keepsake of that, and it didn't happen to be maybe the thumbprint that Furman says he found in the back gate that somehow that evidence ended up being lost and led to the acquittal, was it? Whatever you took didn't have a mark on it. Go, People's Exhibit A.
Cal's like, I'm going to take this. This is a memento.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't go in the courtroom. I was just outside in Camp OJ where the reporters hung out, you know.
Oh. Just checking.
On that big scaffold.
Just checking, Cal.
But, you know, there was maybe
it's sitting up in Reading somewhere.
Maybe something that looked like a glove and a weird fingerprint. That's all I can tell you. All right. Now, case or no case, I take you to the great Pacific Northwest, the city of Lynn, which is near Portland, Oregon, where a certain Mr. Michael Fesser, age 48, from near Portland, was upset because he claimed that the West Lynn Police Department and several members of its police force carried out unlawful surveillance of him at work because he submitted a complaint about racial discrimination to his employer in February of 2017. After he got the complaint, Mr. Fesser's boss, Eric Benson, asked his fishing buddy, the West Lynn Police Chief Terry Timus, to initiate surveillance of Mr. Fesser, which led to an arrest, which ended up being a false arrest. Upon his arrest, Fesser was ordered to step out of his SUV. Police took his phone, his cash, and a letter Fesser had written documenting the alleged racial discrimination without a warrant. Having released, Fesser was later called back to the West Lynn Police Station to collect his belongings, and the cops said, here's your stuff. By the way, you don't have a job to go back to. And so he said he lost his job. He had all this. And by the way, he said it was all. Now, businesses ask cops for help ferreting out crime all the time. But I'm going to ask you, Mr. Pennington, start with you.
Wow.
Is the case of Michael Fesser from West Lynn, Oregon, a case or no case?
So, Mr. Fesser, I just want to come out of that. Went by so fast. He's claiming racial discrimination. His boss knows the police chief, so they decide to put some cameras in the work that are take video. Something and or him.
I think it was actual eyeball surveillance.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then they surveilled him, and then they arrested him, and they took his money, and they took
but
his
why
wallet.
Did they arrest him again? What was the
allegedly noise? For theft.
Okay, allegedly for theft. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the question is, was there something that he really did steal that they arrested him for and that was legitimate? And that's the first question. Because what I'm doing here is I'm doing this analysis thinking it's just very logical what the answer would be. It's just not fair. They arrested him, and they shouldn't have arrested him, and it was a case, and he should win. But that's just too logical and too direct, and that's why I'm scared, because I need points. So I'm going to say it's a case, and that way I only can get 1 point, a case, and I'm going to say the police win. He does not win for some reason, because something to the effect of there was something that he really did do legitimately wrong that had nothing to do with the racial discrimination issue. Even though there may have been some racial discrimination, it had nothing to do with it. That's what I say.
All right, Mr. Kunin, I'm sure you have some thoughts on whether this is a case, as a person who does a lot of criminal defense, I'm sure some things floated across your rather fertile brain on this. What say you?
So, you said...
There ain't no fertile in him right now at all.
Nope, it's all pretty much barren. So, you said his name was Fesser?
Hold on.
Fesser, as in...
Hold on. Michael F-E-S-S-E-R, age 48, from West Lynn, Oregon.
So if you were on his side, you would be pro-Fesser, and if you were opposed to him, you would
be
an
anti-Fesser.
You'd be a con-Fesser,
okay.
As in confessing a crime.
Good point.
Okay, so this is interesting.
What is your little dingling thing?
Yeah, I know.
Cal, you're not...
I'm not thinking
you're
of
not
it.
You're not thinking of
I'm just hearing dingling.
So here's the thing. If it ended up being a false arrest, but the officers had a good faith belief in that a crime had occurred, they can generally get around the warrant requirement.
So Cal's the one that swings the baseball, the bat after the 20 and the catcher's mitt.
So I'm going to say, I hate to say it. Now, Fred, you said Case and the police win,
Police win.
I mean, I know you're doing that to get points, but I got to say, I was leaning the same way as he was laying it out. It sounds like Fesser should win. It sounds like he was wronged. It sounds like he had a slam dunk case. But something tells me that the thing that makes this interesting is that the court is, through a bunch of legal maneuverings, going to ultimately say it might look bad, but they really didn't violate the law in what they did. So,
well, let me ask you this, because this is purely academic at this point, because we're going to kill time till the next break. Time, excuse me. Can a police officer pull you over and say, I want your wallet, I want your cell phone, and I want your cash, and I want them now? Under normal circumstances,
without anything more, if the testimony is evidence, the officer just decided he wanted to pull him over and take that stuff, no, he can't do that. That's an unlawful search and seizure. However, if the officer can point to, even though he didn't tell the suspect this, if the officer can point to
probable cause,
reasonable suspicion to detain,
right,
and argue that for a safety purpose, he had to pat the person down to retrieve that stuff, that he can get around it. So I think it's a case. I think he loses. The other thing is, it was the jurisdiction from the other jurisdiction that did the investigation.
So you're with me on that.
So both of you say Case and the
police win.
Yeah, police win. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And then don't forget, stay with us, because we're going to get into Weinstein. Something about there's police issues there, and whether or not it's tied in with our case here, our case or no case. We're going to be back after this. Cal, take us out.
We are big enough to be banned on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned, because there's much more Radio Law Talk coming on right here. And remember, you can hear us live every Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific time at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Federal agents who patrol the U.S. border will deploy to sanctuary cities across the country where local jurisdictions are hindering immigration enforcement. The deployment of Customs and Border Patrol agents, some with tactical training, to the interior of the country represents another escalation in the confrontation between the Trump administration and the local jurisdictions that have set up roadblocks to immigration enforcement. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Matthew Albience said additional forces are needed because people without legal authorization to be in the country are being released from local jails into sanctuary cities before his agents can take them into custody. The acting director did not disclose when or where the agents would be deployed, but an official disclosed details not provided in the statement, saying the major sanctuary cities such as San Francisco, New York, Atlanta, Boston, and Detroit will be involved. This is USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Radio Law Talk.
All right, here we go. Cal, tell us what happens in this case where near Portland, Oregon, where this individual made a discrimination claim and the owner of the business brought forth his friend, apparently someone he knew in the police department. They did a surveillance, arrested him for stealing something, and now he's saying that was improper. You shouldn't have done that due to the fact, among other things, look, you did this because I brought up a discrimination issue within the workplace.
Yes. By the way, the chief, his name is Terry Timmeus, T-I-M-E-U-S, mm-hmm. and he's referred to in the article, and this may be a hint to you, as the former police chief.
We might just get 1 point. Huh?
So for those of you who say this is a case, yes. May I see that's Fred and Todd.
Yes, we at least get a point. Okay. All right.
For those of you who say that the police won, that would be Fred and Todd. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. My heavens.
This is an interesting story to me, just because it goes to show you how when you're in a smaller community where everybody seems to know everyone,
yes.
that they give each other a pass on stuff that normally you would never give each other a pass on.
Got it.
You'd never say, oh, you're discriminating against an employee. Well, that's okay. I can back you up on that. So what happened is Mr. Fesser won. He sued for false arrest, malicious prosecution, defamation, and invasion of privacy in the summer of 2018 and received, wait for it, the largest payout for wrongful arrest in the state of Oregon history at that time, $600,000. $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, right,
wow.
Right.
And the question is, what did they claim he stole? Did it say they claim he stole?
He worked in a wrecking yard. Salvage cars.
Got you.
But for some reason, the boss said, oh, this guy's pulling a discrimination thing on me, buddy. Will you see if you can find something to hang on him?
Right.
And so guess what? Justice prevailed in this case. Now, Mr. Fesser runs a support program for men getting out of prison, and he filed a complaint, and he won. It's interesting. He did have a prison record for an unrelated offense using a telephone to make a drug deal.
Huh.
So the boss goes to the cops and said, well, you know, he's dirty looking. He's a former drug dealer. You know, we
can
go get him.
Yeah.
But I just love it when justice prevails. And apparently, based on what we're seeing in this case, that's how it went. And so that,
good
ladies
one.
And gentlemen, thank
good
you,
one.
Is Case or No Case. And next time I'm going to take you, you know how we say the best show other than this is the UFO show?
Oh, they're the best.
I have a case straight out of the annals for you.
Yes.
Next hour.
Nice.
Case or No Case.
But we got a point, Todd. We're catching up on...
That'll teach Denise to gallivant around and have fun on vacation.
While we work?
Yes.
Oh, believe me, if she heard this... any points and you guys did, she's not having fun.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, wait till the end of the third hour. By the way, we are a three-hour show.
Sure.
Join us all 3 hours. If you can't join us all 3 hours or your station can't, you can go to www.radiolawtalk.com and then you can click on the Listen Live and you can follow us with a live show.
And you can talk to the station and say, you know, I listened to that Radio
Live
show,
them.
And you should play all 3 hours. What's wrong with you guys?
Because you know what we hear? You know, it's funny because we're getting bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger. We're getting more and more emails. We're getting more and more discussion about Radio Law Talk. And we actually had someone, a radio station, was interested in our show, said, no, you guys are too liberal. Like, what? What? What is this, a far right wing? We're so neutral in this place.
It's amazing to me how subjective the label of liberal and conservative
is. Uh-huh.
I grew up in California. I always thought I was very, very conservative. Then I moved to Utah, and I realized how liberal I was.
I worked television news in Idaho, and I was born in Idaho. And the conventional political wisdom in Idaho, for those of you who live in that great state, know it is essentially Republican libertarianism. Leave me alone, conservative politics, less government, less tax. I mean, that's their whole view of the world.
Right. That's generally speaking.
So I've interviewed Senator Frank Church, the Democrat who had just put together at the time the giveaway back to Panama of the Panama Canal. So he'd come back from Washington, so I sat him down in the studio, did a half an hour show with Senator Frank Church. Afterward, you liberal Californian, I can just tell you're nothing but are you kidding me?
Liberal Californian.
This is the funniest thing in the world.
It's all relative. Yeah. Everything's relative.
Yeah.
You know, just wherever you are, it depends. There's always someone more conservative and someone more liberal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then after Utah, about 10 years later, I moved to Northeast Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't know what it meant to have the general citizenry have a firm understanding of the provisions of the Constitution until I moved to Tennessee, because the folks in Tennessee, they know chapter and verse.
Awesome.
That was awesome to see. And so it's just, you move around the country and you're subject to different things.
It's cool. Anyway, so, we're throughout the country. We love everybody that follows us.
We're grateful for every station.
But Weinstein, it's just getting more interesting.
Yep.
Because as of, you know, we're going to follow it from the early on, what happened early on this week, to what happened on Friday. And what happened on Friday, the Thursday and Friday were the closing arguments. And the judge did say, and you're right, Todd, we talked about during the break, the judge says the final closing argument, which is the prosecution, which Todd brought out, in other states it's vice versa. Usually the last person to go is the defense, and then then the rebuttal can come from the prosecution.
They'll do an order. So on opening statements, prosecution goes first, then the defense goes, then you hear all the evidence. On closing, usually the prosecution, in many states, the prosecution prosecution goes first. Then the defense is able to say stuff. But because the prosecution has the burden of proof, they're able to go again to rebut what the defense said in their closing argument. New York, they contract that to two. Defense goes first, prosecution goes second.
That's where we are. So the argument is you're going to see some arguments from the defense, from Weinstein, about prosecution going last. But before that happens, so we are now in the throes of the defense putting witnesses out. And these are some very interesting witnesses. The first witness, or one of the first witnesses they put on is Nelson Lopez, who was the building manager for actress Ciora. Now, she testified earlier about some inappropriate acts that she had had, or her and Weinstein, that he had done to her in the past. And it's only for prior bad acts. She is not one of the ones that the prosecution is using as a person that was raped.
Right? Exactly. And the circumstance, without getting into details, the circumstance relevant to this portion is that she and Weinstein had gone to an industry function. He took her back to her house, and then when she went to her apartment, he made his way to her apartment and
by himself
and forced his way into the apartment. And Mr. Lopez, Nelson Lopez, addressed that because he's the building manager and had and apparently this isn't like an apartment complex with no security. This is you have to go past the people that work the door at the front to get in.
Right? No, there's two security people they got to go through to get to her apartment, and he basically testifies, there ain't no way that happened. There's no way that Weinstein, at least that's, he didn't say the word no way, but the odds of that happening are slim. And he actually says, good luck in anybody getting past the doorman guarding the building to just get up there, whether it's Weinstein or not. They would have known or seen this individual.
So the implication with that evidence would be either A, it didn't happen, Weinstein did not force his way, did not go into the apartment, or B, if he did, it wasn't because he snuck up there, it was because he was an invited guest of Ciora. That's got to be the two reasons why the defense would be putting forth that evidence. And remember, one of the key elements of the defense in this case was these are people, the alleged victims are folks that engaged in consensual behavior that have now come back after the fact and tried to claim that this was non-consensual. So that would be something that supports the defense that she invited him.
And their second one that comes up, they put up on Lopez was followed by probably the most significant witness so far, which is Miss Maya. And she is apparently a friend or a roommate of Jessica Mann, who is the one the prosecution are using that's alleging rape. And that's she's not the bad acts, person testifying. Jessica's the one that's alleging rape. And what Miss Maya says about what Miss Mann is testifying against Harvey Weinstein is very interesting. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
I hope you can follow all that. Pardon me, follow all that. If not, we'll get it all explained and straightened out as we fly forward here on Radio Law Talk, right here on your favorite radio station, and, of course, always on RadioLawTalk.com. Stay right there. We promise we'll be right back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information,
cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now I eat in a way that's healthy and good for me.
I never realized what I was missing out on.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web.
Is this real life?
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
We love it how Cal left the segment basically saying this is confusing, so we better for those people first listening.
So I'll make up for it by confusing people within the break. So yes. I've pretty much done all of that.
Yes, though. So here's what we do. Generally, Weinstein is being prosecuted by New York City for alleged sexual acts on two women, and that is Miss Haley and Miss Mann. However, they brought in four other women to testify for prior bad acts. And now that that's set up, now what's happening is defense is bringing their case, rebutting these four witnesses of prior bad acts, and the testimonies of the two alleged victims, Miss Haley and Miss Mann, and that's what they're doing.
So when we talked about the ability for Weinstein to get past the two guys, the security guys at the door, and how this Nelson Lopez said that couldn't happen, that is impeachment of the witness who was only there to testify to prior bad acts, Seoria. That is
right.
Not, she did not testify to anything that's in the indictment against Harvey Weinstein. But Fred, we're now going to talk about a witness who was called to specifically rebut an allegation by Jessica Mann who was in the indictment.
Right. She's the main, she is one of the main individuals here, and Miss Haley. So Miss Mann, now apparently this is a friend and a roommate, and Miss Mann claimed that at the time that she was sexually assaulted by Mr. Weinstein, that that she was apparently what? There or in the other room, and there was questions as to what occurred. Now here's the thing. So they ask Miss Maya. I'm gonna, is it Maya or Maya?
It's M-A-I-A. I would say Maya. Yes.
They ask Miss Maya what? They ask her a number of things. Did you hear any arguing during this time period where Miss Mann is alleging that she was sexually assaulted and raped? And the answer, she said, no, because she said she was in the other room. Did your friends ever ask you, did your friend Miss Mann ever ask you for help? No. Did she seem upset in any way? No. On the drive home, did she, what was she like? She seemed okay. She seemed normal. Did she behave, that's Miss Mann who's making these allegations against, and by the way, we're just saying the arguments back and forth of both sides, because those of you who are yelling at your radio, well, this could, we're going to say the prosecution's argument, but this is defense bringing up their witnesses. Did she act normally, you know, within herself after that? Quote, nothing that stood out to me. And I mean, nothing stood out to me that was unusual. And generally speaking, this is the here's the killer part, and this is the part that I said, go over that, Todd. I'm saying everything. Here's the most important thing. Generally speaking, man, what?
She says, generally speaking, man spoke highly of Mr. Weinstein. And then she described, Maya testified, that man would say she seemed to really like him as a person, and she said a few times that he was like, if this is the one, a spiritual soulmate and a wonderful person. Now, when you look at this evidence, first, and you've heard me say this, and I want to reiterate this, there really is no normal way to respond. In my experience as a former prosecutor of these type of offenses, there's no normal way for someone to respond, or that they respond to this. There are as many ways that people respond as victims of sexual assault as there are victims of sexual assault. It is specific to each person. If there is any similarity, it is that whatever it is, there's often a change in behavior. Okay.
Yes.
Now, the change might be different for every person, but there is often, not always, but often a change in behavior. And the first part of this testimony is she didn't see any change in her behavior.
Right. And then she goes on and even says that she always said good things about him.
Yeah.
And again, this is her testimony. And she never said anything bad about him.
And that is key, because first, it impeaches the testimony of Jessica Mann, the testimony that she gave on direct examination, but it also introduces a new element of bias, in that the defense probably argued that somehow man was a jilted lover, or if she felt this way about Harvey Weinstein and he ultimately didn't leave his spouse and end up being with her and nobody else, that she could be jilted or feel upset, and that is the basis of her claim. That's what the defense is arguing, would argue. That's not what I'm not putting that forth as my opinion. I'm just analyzing what the defense would argue.
Now, here's the thing that she did agree. This is Miss Maya, the one that was the friend of Jessica Mann, who was bringing this the assault and rape charges against Mr. Weinstein. She did say, yeah, but She really never wanted to say no to him. She knew that basically sometimes she was uncomfortable about some certain things that he asked her to do, but she just didn't like to say no to him. But they were in a relationship. I mean, their argument is we were in a relationship for a time. And,
yes.
But then here comes the cross-examination. Cross-examination now says, isn't it true that you and Miss Mann had a very, very bitter falling out? And, you know, so now they start cross-examining her on that issue. And so they basically go to show your bias because you don't like her anymore. That is Miss Mann because you guys had a falling out. So, but anyway, that's basically she gets off the stand. And then the third person comes up for defense. This apparently a social media influencer named Claudia Salinas. Is testifying against Lauren Young, who was one of the prior bad acts individuals that testified, right?
Yes. And in that, now, Lauren Young's testimony was that there was an encounter that Lauren Young now claims.
G-rated.
I'm just going to talk about the location. That there was an encounter between her and Harvey Weinstein that she claims rose to the level of sexual assault, and that it took place, I believe it was
in a hotel bathroom,
and resulted in Weinstein being almost nearly unclothed, and that Salinas was outside of the bathroom, and Salinas says,
well, here's the key. Miss Young claims, the big issue, Miss Salinas claims in her testimony, when I walked by Miss Young, I shot her this look that, like,
yes,
get me out of here. This is, or this really, you know, like, I don't know what I can't remember what the word was, but like, don't get me out of this thing.
So she shot her a dirty look.
Dirty look or something like that.
So in the defense act, they call Claudia Salinas because Ms. Young said Salinas was right there, and they call her as a witness, and Claudia Salinas says, that didn't happen. I don't remember that happening.
Wow. And not only no, absolutely not, she said, you know?
And she says, and this is important because of the way the prosecution tried to impeach her afterwards. She says, if I had done that, I would have remembered. I've never closed the door behind anybody ever, because talking about how after Young exited, she closed the door behind as Harvey Weinstein was coming up. But then the prosecution comes up.
Yeah, and the prosecution basically says, well, you know what? Didn't you talk to us before and our investigator before, and you said you didn't have any recollection, did you? In fact, you don't recall much. And you didn't, you know, your previous statement to investigators and prosecutors is you had zero recollection. And that's what they brought up to her.
And that's always a very difficult answer to interpret, because there's two ways you can interpret a I don't remember answer. One is, boy, I just have no memory of the incident. I don't even remember being there type response. The other is, I don't remember happening as a polite way of saying, if it had happened, I would have remembered it. And if I don't, then it didn't happen. And I think that's the way she tried to explain the previous statement.
And prosecution's twisting it, possibly, about what's going on. And then, just to wrap this part up, and then, you know, they finish up with her, and she makes it clear, and so does all the witnesses, at least, that they don't want to be here to testify.
Yes.
This is not like they're coming up here to, this is what they mentioned, we're not here to make money, we're not here to do anything, we're forced to testify, because they could subpoena them, correct?
And they were subpoenaed.
So we're going to be back and talk more about now what the prosecution says.
Well, it sounds a lot of interesting stuff coming up right here on Radio Law Talk, wherever you're listening, radio station, radiolawtalk.com, or even via podcast, because you know, we upload every episode of Radio Law Talk just for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Two more hours of Radio Law Talk coming right up.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.